Morning, everyone. This meeting of the Rules Committee is officially called to order. Welcome to our very first meeting of the session, and we'll start by the clerk taking the roll.
Chair Long.
Present.
Vice Chair Hollins.
Present.
Lee Damith.
Present.
Representative Engen.
Present.
Representative Howard.
Present.
Representative Hewitt.
Present.
Representative Jordan.
Present.
Representative Lilly.
Present.
Representative Moeller.
Present.
Representative Nash.
Present.
Representative Olson.
Present.
Representative O'Neill.
Present.
Representative Pulowski.
Present.
Representative Robbins. Representative Torkelson.
Present.
Representative Wolgamott.
Present.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
All right, thank you very much. So I thought it would be helpful just to do quick introductions. A number of us know each other, but you may not know all the staff, and we have at least one new member joining us. So I'll begin. I'm the chair, Jamie Long, and I represent a district in Minneapolis. Why don't we just go around?
I am your committee legislative assistant. I'm Isabel Rolfes.
I'm Athena Hollins. I'm the vice chair, and I represent parts of St. Paul.
Paul Torkelson, District 15B, representing Brown, Redwood, and a little bit of Blue Earth County.
Erin O'Neill, representing Buffalo, Monticello, Maple Lake, which is 29B.
Elliot Engen, representing Lionel Lakes, Centerville, Circle Pines, White Bear Township, and North Oaks.
Representative Lisa Damith, representing District 13A, portion of Stearns County, and I won't give you all of my cities and townships today.
I am Representative Jim Nash, and I represent all the lovely places in Carver County.
Representative Gene Pulowski, retired social studies teacher and golf professional.
Representative Leo Lilly, represent East Metro communities. One of them is North St. Paul, and we have a snowman as a mascot, so this is probably our fault.
We know who to blame.
Liz Olson, District 8A, which is about half of Duluth.
Representative Michael Howard, representing Richfield and a little bit of South Minneapolis, District 51A.
Kelly Moeller, District 40A, Arden Hills, Moundsview, New Brighton, and Shoreview.
Sydney Jordan, 60A, which is Northeast Minneapolis and Southeast Como.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. I'm Dan Wolgamott, State Representative from District 14B, which includes St. Cloud and Minden Township.
John Hewitt, I represent some of Rosemount, some of Egan, and some of Apple Valley.
I didn't say that.
My name is Emily Adrians, and I'm the Chief Fiscal Analyst for the House.
Pat McCormick, House Research.
Jean Stewart, Committee Administrator.
All right. And Representative Robbins, would you care to introduce yourself as well?
Thank you. My apologies. I was shoveling myself out of getting stuck this morning, so... Kristen Robbins, representing 37A, the communities of Corcoran, Greenfield, Independence, Loretto, Medina, and Western Maple Grove. Thank you.
Glad you could join us. So today we will be going through some early resolutions and policy adoptions. Most of these are ones that we do at the beginning of every session, so they would be familiar for folks who have been on Rules Committee before. But we'll begin with the HR resolutions and a presentation from Director of Human Resources, Kelly Knight. Please go ahead and introduce yourself and proceed.
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Kelly Knight. I'm the Director of HR for the House. And the first item is the policy on harassment and discrimination. With this, what we are adding to this is, although that gender and gender identity are currently listed and covered under the Minnesota Human Rights Act, we are recommending that gender and gender identity are added specifically in our policy so that it is clear to members, staff, and the public who are looking at our policy that both gender and gender identity are covered without having to reference the Minnesota Human Rights Act.
Thank you for that. So I will be offering an oral amendment, and then we can have any discussion that members would like. So I'll move to amend the House policy against discrimination and harassment by adding in the terms gender and gender identity on the top of page 4 after sexual orientation. And I'll just note that this is our understanding of current law based on Minnesota Human Rights Act. So it would not be a change in the policy implementation, but it would be helpful to have it listed here rather than have any confusion from members or any need to reference the Minnesota Human Rights Act. Any discussion to my oral motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is adopted. Let's proceed to the policy on service award program, if you'd like to speak to that.
Mr. Chair and members, 2023 P1 is the policy on service award program. And this policy allows the House to recognize staff for their service at 2 years, 5 years, and then every subsequent 5 years.
Any questions from members on the policy on service award program? Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So does this differ at all from what we passed in the past? Is it the same language?
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, yes, it is the same language.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair. Any additional questions? Okay, seeing none, then I will move adoption of the 2023 P1 Policy on Service Award Program. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? The policy is adopted. Next, we will move to the 2023 P2 Policy on Donated Time. Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, the 2023 P2 Policy on Donated Time allows House staff to donate accrued either vacation time or comp time to staff who have been out ill for at least 6 consecutive weeks and who have exhausted their vacation and sick time.
Any questions from members on the 2023 P2 policy? Okay. Seeing none, I will move adoption of the 2023 P2 policy on donated time. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The policy is adopted. Let's have you speak to the 2023 P3. Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, 2023 P3 is a policy on compensatory time and time card policy. And this policy allows eligible staff to accrue up to 220 hours of compensatory time. If staff are not eligible for compensatory time, it allows them to receive 32 hours of summer hours, and these are hours that are given to them the beginning of June and that they may use in the same manner in which they use vacation time.
And Ms. Knight, could you inform the committee whether there have been any changes to this policy from last session?
Mr. Chair and members, there have not.
Any questions from members? Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Knight, for being here. I have a question related to the 4 hours of unpaid work that staff take. Can you explain the reason for this policy?
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, the 4 hours is a threshold that staff are expected to work long and irregular hours, but we do recognize that at some point in time, those hours are significant. So that is where the 4 hour threshold came from. When this policy was first adopted, it was actually 8 hours.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Knight. I'm glad we've been moving into a direction where we are paying staff for more of the hours that they work, but I still would like to see us take steps to pay staff for all the hours that they work. Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none, I will move adoption of the 2023 P3 policy on compensatory time and time card policy. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The policy is adopted. We will turn now to the 2023 R7 resolution on alcohol consumption. Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, the 2023 R7 resolution on alcohol consumption states that it prohibits the alcohol consumption in any house-controlled space of the state office building.
And same question, is this any change from last session's policy?
Mr. Chair and members, no, there is not.
Any Representative Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Knight, was there any discussion in this committee or previous committees to also add edibles or cannabis to this?
I know that I have not been a part of that discussion, but I'll ask Ms. Knight to respond as well.
Mr. Chair and members, no, I've not been a part of any discussions.
Okay, I would just ask the committee to consider that. I think we allowed the edibles to be legal last year, and I think that's something we should consider holding ourselves accountable to. Would you consider that as a friendly amendment, Mr. Chair?
Thank you, Ms. Representative Robbins. I certainly entertain further discussion on that, and maybe would ask that we just take until the next meeting to think that through. But I don't see any reason at this point why we wouldn't want to move forward with something like that. I just wouldn't be prepared to act today. Further discussion? Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To Representative Robbins' question, we're going to ratify these rules by vote now, correct? Wouldn't
correct.
It be proper to put the friendly amendment in before it goes to another vote?
Well, Representative Nash, this is a resolution on alcohol consumption, so we could certainly do a resolution on edibles at a further meeting.
Mr. Chair, you could also just do an amendment or a resolution on consumption of some sort of intoxicating or other substances and just wipe out alcohol and make it a much broader resolution. I'm sure, I know I have the highest level of confidence in our revisor staff that they could handle that on the fly.
Well, thank you for the suggestion, Representative Nash. It's certainly worthy of consideration. As I said, I'd love to talk about it between now and our next meeting and perhaps bring it back. Intoxicating substances, you know, to me might, I don't know if that would imply any particular type of prescription drug that folks are taking or something like that. So I just want to make sure we're thinking the consequences through. But I'm very happy to have that conversation and bring it back next time. Representative Mullen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was just going to mention medical cannabis as well. Just want to make sure we take the time to craft it correctly. Thanks.
Thanks, Representative Mullen. Any further questions? Okay. Well, you have my commitment. We'll have that conversation and perhaps can bring something back that's targeted and thought through at our next rules meeting. So I will move the resolution on alcohol consumption, the 2023 R7. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The resolution is adopted. And our final one for Ms. Knight is the resolution on remote work policy. Ms. Knight, the 2023 R7. 8D, please.
Mr. Chair and members, 2023 R8D is a resolution on remote work policy. This policy addresses an interest in having a remote work opportunity for staff, and it would allow a remote work opportunity but not require it. And it would begin 2 calendar weeks after the adjournment of the 2023 session and must end prior to the start of the 2024 annual session on a date determined by leadership and myself. We would consult on that and come up with a date. There is a provision in here where this policy could be suspended for house business should that need arise. Also, too, it would allow remote work on Tuesdays and Thursdays during the interim. This policy also allows for remote work in exigent health, family, or safety circumstances. One requirement that I will put out is that staff will be required to be available. They will, in the same manner they would if they were here. So there should not be any interruption to business. Also, too, this policy does sunset prior to the start of the 2024 annual legislative session.
Questions on the 2023 R8B, Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Knight, I'm just wondering, what was the reason behind the Tuesday, Thursday? So I'm assuming that means without any prior authorization, they could do Tuesday, Thursday during interim. Can you just let us know what the thought process was behind that?
Ms. Knight.
The thought process on the Tuesday, Thursdays are we have a lot of people with high vacation balances that often take Fridays and Mondays. So we went with Tuesdays and Thursdays as an order to not diminish our workforce and have people available. This would require staff to get their supervisor's approval. I mean, some staff do have positions that cannot be done remote. So those individuals would still be required to provide on-site service.
Follow-up, Representative O'Neill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that really quickly. So all of it, including the Tuesday, Thursday, has to have their supervisor's approval. I have read it just a little bit differently, but if that's clear in the language, then I'm fine with it. It just seemed more open-ended as I was reading it. But thank you. As long as it's clear.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Knight. My question regards staff availability. You said that when a staff is working remotely, they're required to be available as they are should they be working. My experience with that, especially in relation to the telephone, has been somewhat different than normal availability. Can you explain that for me, please?
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair, members, during the pandemic, we had staff that were trying to balance having no daycare and remote work or remote learning for children. And so we allowed maximum flexibility with that. Now that the pandemic, we're hopefully past that, staff will be required to work with their supervisor and define hours that they are available. So are they working a schedule of 8 to 4:30? Are they working a schedule of 8:30 to 5? What exactly is that schedule? And if staff are not available, according to this policy, it can be suspended and they would be required to come into work. So they should be available in the same manner.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for that answer. But my question really is, how do we define available? Does available mean when I dial their office number, they pick up the phone, for instance?
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, I know that the legislative assistants have the capability. Some offices do not. I know some offices deal with cell phones. But I'm leaving that availability as something to be worked out not only within the caucuses but also within the departments. You know, is 2 hours too much? Is, you know, should it be an hour? Should it be half hour? What is that availability? You know, and it will be defined by the supervisors.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just bring up a point that I think many of us ran into during our times of remote work where when I wanted to get a hold of someone, my phone went to the answering machine. I was not given a cell phone number. And sometimes I got a call back and sometimes I didn't, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Representative Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Ms. Knight, for walking us through all of this. My question is really around the technology support that folks will have when they are working remotely. So I'm thinking, I mean, phones are one aspect of it, but also internet accessibility, as well as data privacy that might go into that internet accessibility. And I'm not sure if you are the right person to address that directly, but is there going to be any oversight on that? Or, you know, are we going to be working with folks who are scheduled to work at home to make sure that they have that accessibility?
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, staff would need to have an internet connection that could sustain video calls. So that is part of this. And if they did not, then that might be a situation to where they would work in person until they had an opportunity to have that.
Thank you. Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Knight, again. For Section 5, it says that it is the section that deals with the temporary approval of remote work for emergencies. Does that also only apply to interim, or would that be applicable during session as well?
Mr. Chair, members, there could be situations where it would apply during session.
Thank you. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to pick up on Representative Holland's question, Ms. Knight, are the employees that will be potentially working from home, are they furnished with a state-issued laptop with a VPN connection, or none of those things?
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, a staff will be allowed to take their state-issued laptops with them, and most staff, is my understanding, and I'd have to get the exact number from Mike Spiker, our IT director, but it's my understanding that most staff now do have laptops that they are able to take. Staff will access their files here through a variety of connections. Some of those is VPN. In my case, for my office, there is another portal that we use to deal with the HR data.
A follow-up, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's a worthy conversation to allow people to work from home when necessary, but as a cybersecurity professional, not having a guaranteed virtual private network connection, not sure what the other IT connection is, if it goes through a VPN-like piece of software, I would have some level of reticence on this, given the type of data that all employees may or may not have access to, and the subsequent ability to, without a private network connection, bring things back to the state when they come back with their laptop. From my comfort level, I would like a little more specificity as to the tightness of that, and would recommend that, without knowing, that we not approve this, because cybersecurity, and you've all heard me, and you love it when I talk about cybersecurity, it's an actual thing, so we should pay attention to that. And I'm sure that the vendors have data on that, and Mike Spiker could probably provide that, but short of that, without having an ironclad understanding of the privacy and the security of it, I would have some problems and I would be voting no.
Well, Representative Nash, this won't go into effect until the interim, so we will have lots of time to, you know, get you the information you need from Mike Spiker and others, and hopefully we can arrange that to make sure that you have some comfort around the VPN. I mean, I know that when we're using remote access as members, we have a VPN set up. I don't know what the situation is for other staff, but we can probably find that out. Representative Nash.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, we'll pick up on my previous comment. If we pass things today, there's less inclination to make sure that we get it right moving forward. And my preference would be that we table this, and I would make a motion to table it if that were appropriate. I just think that doing it before you run forward with it is much wiser, because it actually puts up some guardrails and helps us to put things on the proper path forward.
So you said would, that was conditional. Is that a motion, or can
you? Chair, I'm going to let you react to that first, since you're the chair, but if that's not the case, then yeah, I think I would.
I think that we're ready to move forward with this today. You have my commitment that we will get information that you requested from Mike Spiker and others about the security needs, and if there are legitimate security needs, I'm committed to bringing those back before the committee. Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Knight. I also wanted to take another look at sub 5. It says that the temporary remote work would be for exigent health, family, or safety circumstances, but I don't really see any definition around safety. Could you elaborate? And also, is there any time frame where it would be like for a week and see what happens and renewed, or is it just open-ended? If you would comment on both those. Thank you.
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, there isn't, I don't think there's one definition of safety. I mean, it could be their personal safety. It could be on a day like today, if someone lived in a rural area and was driving in, I mean, with the roads and the condition they are, that could be a safety concern. The temporary remote work is something that I would work with the department director in that department. There is no predefined timeframe for that.
Representative Robinson, a follow-up.
Well, I'm just concerned, Mr. Chair, about such a broad, open-ended thing. I think exigent health and family is quite understandable, but safety is important, but probably unduly broad. So I would just like to see that tightened up, but I will leave it to you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Damon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Knight, looking at the provision, as was just referenced by Representative Robbins, the timing of that temporary remote work, would that be as soon as this is approved, or would that also just flow into the interim?
Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair and members, the temporary remote work could be in effect as soon as this is approved.
Thank you, Ms. Knight. That's all, Mr. Chair.
Are you back on the list, Representative Nash? So you move for your microphone.
Mr. Chair, and I don't mean to beat the drum on cybersecurity as much as I do, but I have seen the dark side of things, and it's bad and costly. And if we are going to approve something like this, and then maybe or maybe not come back to it, I think that the best thing that we can do is put either policies or when we do bills, put the bill in the best shape that you can starting off and make sure that you're covering all your bases and dotting your I's and crossing your T's. I would love to hear more about the security of the devices that we send home and the connection pathways that people use when they're working at home. And for that reason, I would make a motion to table 2023-R8D and request a roll call.
Okay, motion to table is not debatable, but how's this? Representative Nash, if you will withdraw your motion, I'll bring this back next week. I'll table it myself, and then we can get you and Mike Spiker together in the interim and have the conversation. We are meeting next week, so we'll have the opportunity to bring this back at that point. Representative Nash.
Mr. Chair, thank you. With your promise to do that, I would withdraw my motion.
Okay. Representative Nash has withdrawn his motion. I'll move to table the resolution on remote work policy. We'll return to it next week. All those in favor of my motion, we don't need to do roll. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We'll move on and return to that next week. Ms. Knight, any closing comments?
Mr. Chair, members, no.
Okay. Thank you so much. Next, we have Ms. Barb Julich, our Controller and Chief Financial Officer for our budgeting and accounting resolutions. And we will be beginning with the 2023 P4. If you would care to speak to that, Ms. Julich, and welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Barb Julich, and as the Chair indicated, I am the Director of Budget and Accounting and Controller for the House. The first policy in front.
Ms. Julich, could you maybe move the mic a little closer?
Is that better?
A little bit, yeah.
Should I try this one?
I think you're okay as long as you lean it.
All right. All right, Mr. Chair, we will be starting with P4, policy on payment of per diem and living expenses during interim. This is a longstanding policy. There are no changes in this policy from prior years. This policy allows interim per diem when conducting legislative business as described through on lines 8 through 18. These per diems are part of either a committee, a majority, or a minority caucus activity. In addition, starting on line 23, it allows members to claim up to 15 days of interim business per diem related to days they are in the office doing legislative work.
Thank you, Ms. Julich. Any questions on the 2023 P4? Okay. Seeing none, I will move adoption of the 2023 P4 policy. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The policy is adopted. Next, we'll turn to the 2023 P6. Ms. Julich.
Mr. Chair and members, the P6 is the policy on photographs and digital images. There are a few technical clarifying changes in this policy. The first is on line 6. after the word "and," the words "for official house business" have been added, so that this policy relates to photographs and digital images taken by house employees and house equipment for official house business. Also on line 8 to 9, this is new language that has been added, requiring that official house member portraits are the ones taken by house photographers in the house studio. That is new language from prior. Otherwise, the rest of page 10 is identical to in past words or years. This describes how members are able to access photographs or digital images taken of themselves, and describes how, if they are used for campaign purposes, how the fees are tied to them. There are no changes in fees. However, on page 2, lines 7 through 9, the last sentence there is new clarifying language. Since this policy allows members to pay $50 for an annual access to their digital and images and photographs, or $100 for their term, it really hadn't been a problem till the pandemic, when people were paying $50 and we didn't know which year to put it to. So this is just kind of clarifying language that if you do pay a $50 fee for a 1 year, we'll assign it to the calendar year of which it was paid. If you pay the $100 for the term, obviously you would get access to both years' photographs.
Seems like a good clarification. Any questions from members to the 2023 P6? Seeing none, I will move adoption of the 2023 P6. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Policy is adopted. Next, we'll turn to the 2023 R1 resolution on House Chaplain. Ms. Julie.
Mr. Chair, members, this is another longstanding resolution. There's no changes from prior years. It just states we'll pay $35 for the chaplain for the day. And if we had a house chaplain, that they would receive a $2,000 a year honorarium. We do not have one. So it really is the $35 for the chaplain of the day.
Any questions to the 2023 R1? Seeing none, I will move adoption of the 2023 R1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The resolution is adopted. We are now on the 2023 R2 resolution on leadership compensation. Ms. Julie.
Mr. Chair and members, this is also an unchanged resolution. This allows, per statute, the House can compensate 3 leadership positions at 140% of the member salary. And this would do that for the Speaker, the Chair of the Committee on Rules of Legislative Administration, and the Minority Leader.
Any discussion to the 2023 R2? Seeing none, I'll move adoption of the 2023 R2. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution's adopted. We are now on the 2023 R3. Ms. Julek, resolution on expense reimbursement.
Mr. Chair, members, this resolution outlines a number of expenses that members may incur over their term. There are a few changes in this policy, or in this resolution. Page 1, lines 8 through 20 set the monthly and term limits for lodging for members who live more than 50 miles from the Capitol. On line 10, this has been updated to $2,200 a month versus prior year's $1,800. On line 11, the term limit is updated to $39,600. That is mathematically 18 months times $2,200. And then again on line 13, the $2,200 in lodging has been updated. So those would be the lodging for our out-state members. And then continuing on lines 21 onto the next page, line 4 just continues with the how we verify payments of lodging and reimburse. So it's more of a technical paragraph. On page 2, lines 5 through 11, just outlines other potential lodging that if you are staying overnight due to an urgent need at the Capitol, that lodging is limited, cannot exceed $175. On line 8 on page 2, that used to be $150. So that's been updated from $150 to $175. Moving down on page 2, lines 12 through 24, this authorizes travel reimbursement for members living more than 50 miles from the Capitol. They are allowed one round trip per week during session, and it's reimbursed at the federal IRS rate. On page 2, line 25 through page 3, line 2, This is for lodging within the state of Minnesota when you're attending a conference or a meeting, or traveling with a committee such as a bonding committee. On line 27 and on line 28, those numbers have been updated. They used to be 150 and 175. They are now capping the overnights at $175 or $200 if the site is tied to the conference. So again, those would be increasing. On moving on to page 3, lines 3 through 15, this establishes interim district travel. There is no change there. Page 3, lines 16 to 18, requires pre-approval of all out-of-state travel. There's no change there. Lines 19 to 28 allows reimbursement for actual expenses incurred when conducting legislative business, such as attending a trip or going on a bonding committee, things like that. So no change there. On page 4, lines 1 through 4, this exempts food expense reimbursement for members on the day they receive per diem. Per diem is supposed to provide daily living expenses such as meals. So if you do claim per diem, we do not reimburse for meals. On page 4, lines 5 through 10, provides mileage and other expense reimbursement for members elect for orientation. So for any new members who attended orientation meetings, this would allow us to reimburse their mileage and overnight cost if they were for more than 50 miles from the Capitol. It does not allow per diem for those days for the new members. And then lines 11 through 14 authorizes the per diem at $66 a day. There is no change there. And then lines 15 to 17, you'll see this language kind of throughout most of our policies. It requires any request for reimbursement being submitted in writing and submitted within 90 days of expense. This allows us to be within an IRS accountability plan. Absent that language, we would have to tax certain benefits.
Thank you, Ms. Julek. One question from me. So I know I've heard directly from a lot of members about the increased cost of rent in St. Paul with high inflation and the surrounding area for those who aren't housing in St. Paul. Number of members have expressed difficulty of finding housing within our previous allocation. Could you speak to the proposal here and what the motivation was for it, Ms. Julek?
Sure, Mr. Chair and members. We have a number of members who stay at long-term hotel stays. We have heard from those hotel managers that the current $1,800, they will not be able to sustain much longer. And it is actually a very easy administration for us to work with these long-term hotel stays. It also, because many members only stay about 6 months a year, it's cheaper in the long run for us to work with these hotels. And so that has been an issue for about half of our greater Minnesota members. We also have a handful of other members who have hit their limits, either on their term limits or a monthly limit, and they are paying out of pocket for anything over the $1,800 or anytime they're exceeding that term limit because they're at that $1,800 max and they hit that 18-month limit, especially when we have special sessions and you need that longer housing. And so that has been an issue over the last two terms that we've encountered.
Thank you, Ms. Julek. Any questions to the 2023 R3? Ms. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if you could, online, page 1, line 11, the $39,600, how does that compare to the federal cap? Because I know if we, right, so there's, you have to pay on the interest.
Ms. Julek.
Yes, Mr. Chair and Representative O'Neill. The federal cap is determined on an annual basis, and it will be different every year. And having, on a long year like this year, which will have 140 days of probably 130 days of federally qualified days, that federal cap will be around $28,000, $29,000. And any greater Minnesota member who receives lodging or per diem in excess of that calculated cap will pay taxes on that per diem and lodging for anything they exceed. On a shorter year, that federally defined, and again, these are calendar year federal caps, the $39,600 is a house two-year cap, and I just want to clarify between the two. On a short session year, where we may only have 80 to 90 days of session, that federal cap will be much lower, sometimes $19,000 to $20,000. And I don't combine those. They're one year clean. And so having a higher house allowance does put the member at risk of exceeding the federal allowance. And it's usually in that second year of the biennium. And it's one of the reasons why we do an 18-month kind of calculation for the max, to try to, in some ways, protect that second year. So if you do it a 12-month rental your first year, try to encourage a shorter term the second year to try to avoid that federal tax hit on the second year. But you are right, Representative O'Neill, if someone did do the $2,200 per month for the full 18 months, or for more than 18 months, it's that second year where they're going to probably run into a risk of being over on the federal side. And in the first year, if you did $2,200 a month times 12 months, you're getting pretty close to that federal limit too. And that any per diem you collect, you know, probably may put you at it as well. So it is a balancing act. And how do we find a number that fits the market that people can get into? When you go into an apartment, it's very rare that they'll give you less than 12 months, but maybe your renewal could be 6. With a long-term hotel stay, you can do the 6 months on, 6 months off, 6 months on, 6 months off. It's a little easier. But with the apartment, it does put you at risk for exceeding that federal limit. And at that point, we do tax any lodging costs that we pay on your behalf and any per diem that exceed that amount.
Good question, Representative O'Neill.
That's very technical.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That's very technical, and there are a lot of my members that are rural members, and a lot of us tend to have roommates so that we don't incur that. But yeah, it's also, as she stated, it's very, very difficult in St. Paul to get less than a 12-month lease, and if you do, the month-to-month could be $400 a month more, and so then, you know, it's a big challenge. And then if you've got furniture, which you're going to need if you have an apartment, then you have to find a place to store all of that and in that six-month time. So it's, this is a very challenging thing. And, you know, some of us, nobody at this table, but some travel 7 hours down here one way in good weather. So I just want to make sure we think about all of our members. I'm not sure that we can't do anything with the federal cap, but at least we can acknowledge the challenges in St. Paul in finding an apartment or a hotel, or everything is exceedingly expensive. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Neill. Absolutely, and I think this is designed to help address some of the concerns we've heard and the challenges of the existing housing market with our current policy. So hopefully this does help with getting members the housing they need to do this important job. Any other questions from members? Okay, seeing none, I will move adoption of the 2023 R3 resolution. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The resolution is adopted. And our final resolution for Ms. Julek is the 2023 R6, the resolution on reimbursement of member communications expenses. Ms. Julek.
Mr. Chair, members, this again is another resolution with no change, a small change from 2 years ago. This resolution allows members to be paid up to $125 allowance for communication expenses. They may choose to claim it through payroll and not produce documentation, and then it becomes a tax benefit. Or they can choose to submit monthly actual expenditures up to $125 as a separate check. The difference from 2 years ago is we had a very short time period where we allowed additional costs for some other communication licenses through Zoom, but that's been removed.
Any questions to the 2023 R6? Seeing none, I'll move adoption of the 2023 R6 resolution. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The resolution is adopted. Thank you so much, Ms. Julek. Next, we will be hearing from our Sergeant-at-Arms, duly elected yesterday by all of us. Congratulations. Lori Hodat, please proceed with the 2023 R4 resolution on members' personalized stationary allocation.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. 2023 R4 on the personalized stationary allocation. My name is Lori Hodap, and I am the Chief Sergeant at Arms, as you identified. This particular resolution has not changed from previous years. This one is involving how much stationary each member can order. the controller, thank you, Barb, for staying up here, authorizes that number in lines 10 through 13, 4,000 letter-sized letterheads and envelopes, 1,000 business cards, 500 informal note cards, and matching envelopes are the equivalent.
Thank you. Any questions for Chief Hodapp? Representative Mueller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Hodapp. I was just curious, members do have the chance to opt out of that stationery, right? I have a ton of it. Just want to make sure that we have that option to not order more if we don't need it.
Ms. Hodapp.
That would be accurate, yes.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing none, I will move adoption of the 2023 R4 resolution. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The resolution is adopted. And we will proceed now to the 2023 R10 resolution on administration of educational programs. Ms. Hoda.
2023 R10 is renamed as the resolution on administration of educational programs. The language of the high school PAGE program is familiar to you. It does allow for the sergeant at arms to select high school PAGEs, the maximum number being 100. That does not necessarily mean we will have 100, but the maximum number. This language has not changed. There is a stipend affiliated with that for those high school pages as of $10 a day while they're here. The new language in this is combining the high school page program with the undergraduate internship program. This section is new to this resolution, and be it resolved that the maximum number of participants in the program during each year of the session is 40. The undergraduate intern shall receive a stipend of $50 for completing 6 hours of participation each week, and the sergeant at arms shall report attendance records to the House Budget and Accounting Office each week to authorize the stipend.
Thank you. Any questions to the R10? Representative David.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Congratulations, and it's good to have you here. I just wanted to make one comment. The high school page and the internship programs are so important. Very happy to see them come back, and happy to support this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Leader Damon. I certainly agree. I'm really excited that the pages will be back and that we'll have the internship program again, both very valuable. Any other questions? Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question related to the stipend. Can you explain how this number was arrived and why this it's if we're going to give a stipend, why it's so low?
Ms. Hoda.
Do you need to answer that question?
You don't.
All right. We compared this stipend to what the Senate is also providing for their interns, and so we wanted to be equivalent and competitive with the Senate internship program.
Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Sergeant. I think we can always do better than the Senate, and I'd like to see us make sure that we are compensating our interns fairly. Internships are very hard. I was only able to have an internship in politics in college because I was paid. I think it's important that we're acknowledging how hard it is to be an intern here and the costs associated with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. Any further discussion to the R10? Seeing none, I'll move adoption of the 2023 R10 resolution. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The R10 is adopted. Thank you so much, Ms. Hodapp. So that is the extent of the policies and resolutions we'll be taking up today. I did want to mention that we have posted for review only a draft of the resolution on outside employment of members. This we are required by law based on the statute we enacted last year to act to make that statute enforceable. And so this is a proposal for how to do that. We won't be acting on that today, and we won't be acting on that next week, but wanted to give members the opportunity to review and provide feedback. Also wanted to mention that we we'll be at some point in the near future taking up a discussion in the committee on permanent rules. And I know a number of members on the committee are new to the rules committee. A number are returning and have been part of this discussion for many years. I would just put out an open call for suggestions to the permanent rules. And if you do have them, please get them to me this week because we're going to be trying to put together drafts for discussion soon. And would love and welcome members' feedback. those are my announcements. We don't have any further business before the committee, and so we are adjourned.